Superintendent of Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, Naya Hamlet, finds herself under fire for citations in her dissertation. Today, the News and Observer reports that there are, quote, 35 examples of nearly word-for-word paragraphs and sentences taken from sources that are sometimes misidentified or, in some cases, not identified at all, end quote. Hamlet preemptively released a statement earlier in the week defending the 164-page dissertation. She acknowledged that there were errors and citations needed updating and noted that the dissertation went through a rigorous review process at William & Mary back in 2018 when she submitted it. You can find more details on the original reporting over at the News & Observer website, and there is also an article up on chapelborough.com. We go to local government news now, where the Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight at 7 o'clock this evening. They will continue a hearing on a proposal for a development at 101 East Rosemary Street, as well as an open public hearing on Habitat for Humanity's Weaver's Grove project. In state government, in Raleigh today, the North Carolina General Assembly convened to officially start its long session for 2023. One of our community's representatives is going to be in a helpful role to those entering the state legislature for the first time. Alan Buoyancy, the House representative for Chapel Hill and Carborough, was elected last month as the co-chair of the House Democratic Freshman Caucus. He shares that role with Representative Ya Liu of Cary. Buoyancy will help lead 16 other Democrats joining the state house for the first time. It won't, however, be Buoyancy's own first time around the General Assembly. You may recall he was appointed to finish Verla Insko's term last summer after he won the primary race for District 56. Here's Buoyancy recently on 97.9 The Hill talking about his role as co-chair and about the representatives in the Democratic caucus.
We've got a great group. It's diverse, not just in terms of demographically, but profession-wise. I mean, we've got farmers, we've got business owners, we've got lawyers, we've got nurses. And so I'm just really excited about all the different perspectives that are going to be informing, you know, our conversations, not just as a freshman caucus. So I'm honored to serve, and I see myself really in the service of my fellow caucus mates and certainly in the service of our more senior and more seasoned Democrats in the House.
That's District 56 Representative Alan Buoyancy speaking there. There's not much else on the calendar just yet for the General Assembly. But the long session is expected to last about 6 months and could go longer depending on the legislation that they have in the works at the end of that 6 months. We go to Chatham County now, where the Chatham News and Record is reporting that a teacher at Pittsboro Elementary School is being charged with 5 counts of assault with a deadly weapon. 45-year-old Eric Hudson will be in court on January 18th following an incident that happened on July 10th. When a group of teens alleged that Hudson chased them down a rural road near Siler City with a firearm and ultimately caused a minor automobile accident before threatening them with the gun. As of Monday, Hudson was no longer listed on the district's website. Last week, he was listed as a fourth grade teacher. You can get more details at the Chatham News and Records website. To higher ed now, where Durham Tech made an exciting announcement today, and we just heard Jamesetta Bedford talk about this a little bit ago. They are getting $6 million from Novo Nordisk for the establishment of a life sciences training center, and that is the largest single gift in Durham Tech's history. Also on many people's minds today is yesterday's top story, which was the court appearance by Isaiah Ross. He's accused of murdering teenagers Lyric Woods and Devin Clark back in September. At that hearing, we learned several details about the night of the incident, including that both victims were shot in the back several times. You can find the news article on chapelborough.com with full details. Time now for sports, and we will start with the not-so-great news, and that was the men's basketball game last night. Tar Heels fell 65-58 to Virginia. No real shame in that, as Virginia is an elite team and it's always hard to win in Charlottesville. What's not great about this one is, in addition to dropping the Heels to 3-3 in conference, they also lost Armando Baycott, who injured his left ankle with just about a minute into the game. And that's obviously super bad news. The silver lining there is that that meant lots of minutes for Jalen Washington, and the freshman big man stepped up. Here's Coach Davis talking about that after the game.
You know, I've said a number of times. You don't know when your number is going to be called, but it's going to be called. And when it's called, you got to be ready. And Jalen's number was called tonight. And even though we came up short, I was really pleased and really happy with his effort out there.
Coach Davis speaking there. Up next for the Heels, Louisville on the road on Saturday at 2. Louisville currently winless in the conference, so Heels have got to pull that one off even though it's on the road. And looking now to slightly more positive news, we'll look to the world of college football. Even though the 2022-2023 college football season is officially over, the Tar Heels are still at work. Head coach Mack Brown formally introduced the team's 9 transfer portal signees on Monday and expressed high hopes that that group will help Carolina take the next step as a program. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has more.
With the holidays now behind us, Mack Brown is showing off his shopping spree. 9 transfers from around the country and the world are now officially Tar Heels, meaning Carolina can now focus on its upcoming spring season. With the program also adding 10 true freshmen early enrollees, a large percentage of the spring squad will be brand new to Chapel Hill. The group of transfers includes some familiar faces from ACC opponents, such as Georgia Tech wide receiver Nate McCollum and Virginia Tech cornerback Armani Chapman. Stars from teams outside the Power Five, such as standout East Tennessee State cornerback Elijah Huzzy and Kent State wide receiver Tez Walker, also join. Brown said networking with one of Carolina's star players aided in the recruitment of some of the transfers.
When Elijah Hussey got in the portal, we've got Gary Downs, that's a recruiting coordinator and running back coach at East Tennessee State. The fact that Nate McCollum had a relationship with not only Pat, but he had one with Josh Downs. And Josh could tell him what this place is like. Gary could tell Elijah what this place is like after he got in the portal. So much of this now is on relationships.
In some cases, direct family ties even came into play. Defensive back Derek Allen from Georgia Tech is the older brother of UNC's rising sophomore cornerback Marcus Allen. Carolina's dip into the portal also included a player the program didn't meet in person. Tom McGinnis, a punter from Australia who gives UNC more international flair at that position. McGinnis was the last of the 9 transfers to arrive in Chapel Hill, and though Brown said he's hopeful about the new haul, he stopped short of giving any real predictions for their impact.
We haven't coached these guys yet. We've played against a number of them, and that's one thing that you do. If you lose a guy that's not playing as much and you gain a guy that's a superstar on their team, you would hope that it upgrades your roster.
McCollum and Walker are particularly notable in that respect. Both led their respective teams in catches, yards, and receiving touchdowns this past season. And when it came to picking receiver talent from the portal, Brown said Carolina had plenty of choices. The reason why? It came down to who would be throwing them the football.
Oh, there's absolutely no question that people want to play with Drake. And we had calls from receivers all over the country that want to play with him. So he helped us. There's no question.
Brown said he was proud of Carolina's 9 wins last year and Coastal Division title. After all, it's only the second time the program has won 9 games since Brown left in 1997. But now, after a season which seemed destined for greatness came up short, the Hall of Famer said 9 wins won't cut it anymore. He said the next step is turning around 3 of Carolina's 5 losses, which were decided by 1 possession.
But we're a really good program. We got to be a great program. And to do that, we had to win the last 4 games, and 3 of them, we were down to the last play. So we've got to get guys that love football and compete all the time and figure out how to make that one more play.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Thank you, Michael. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. Elsewhere in sports, we're about a month away from the start of lacrosse season, but a bunch of Tar Heels just got preseason honors from USA Lacrosse Magazine. Grad student Connor Mayer was named second team preseason All-American on the men's side, and the women's team had 6 players earn All-American honors. First-teamers Emily Knowles and Caitlin Wurzberger, second-teamer Olivia Dirks, and third-teamers Brooklyn Newman and Brooklyn Walker-Welch. Grad transfer Lauren Figura got honorable mention. UNC women's lacrosse is the number 1 team in the nation in the preseason poll, and they are looking to defend last year's national title. Also, some big news that's come up a couple times during the show today already, and that is that North Carolina has been awarded the 2029 World University Games. You may recall North Carolina was bidding to host the 2027 Games and lost out, but their bid was strong enough that they were awarded the 2029 Games without a subsequent competition. The events at those games will be centered around the Triangle. They'll also dip into some of Greensboro's facilities. It's a two-week event in the summer with over 7,000 athletes from around the world competing in over a dozen sports.